really appreciative of what God has been doing for us as far as our, you know, our edifice that we come to. Now, we call this the house of God, but this, believe it or not, is not the house of God. This is where we assemble. House of God is you, you know, so you have to keep remembering that. I think it's a chapter of Hebrews. It talks about Jesus, you know, the different ones being the son or the God or whatever over their own house. Well, it says that we are his house. So somebody mentioned this the other day. Remember when, is it the 14th chapter of John, where Jesus says, in my Father's house there are many mansions, right? That's you. If you're the house of Jesus, what greater house could you be, number one? Number two, would that be the majesty and the glory of God involved in that if it's the house of Jesus? So would that be your mansion? That's you. There are many mansions in the house, in my Father's house, in the overall house of God, in the kingdom of God, in his house are many mansions. That's us. That we're the house of Christ, you know. So didn't he also say that, where does the Holy Ghost dwell? Where is it? Isn't it in your temple? So he's telling us in many different ways that we're that house. And the only way that he can get it into our hearts and minds that this is going to be a magnificent place is to use a term we use here, mansion. You know, we think of a mansion, we think of a big house and stuff with all kinds of stuff in it, maybe some expensive things. But think about what it is spiritually. Would the gold and the silver be there, the wisdom and understanding of God? Yes. Wouldn't the gates be made of pearl? Think about what I'm saying. Very precious. The city of God is a very precious thing. And diamonds, it talks about pearls, all kinds of things. The precious jewels are the people that God uses in the fivefold ministry to bring us forth. God calls them jewels, precious jewels. And so that means that in a way, all of us that are preaching, now we always say, elders and presbytery and like that. But you got to remember, what did God say about you in the first chapter of Revelation? Aren't you going to be kings and priests? You are. So you're part of that, those diamonds and rubies and pearls and all that stuff too. God considers you precious in his sight if you're doing the preaching to your world. Some of us have heard these things, and we still haven't yet started preaching to our world. You know what that really means? Start letting God divide in you the good and the evil. Let your world come to a knowledge of God in it, and not so much this junk that we do in the world. You know, our mind, we spend more of our time on the things out there than we do on the things in God. Let's see if we can reverse that. Let's see if God can be the preeminent thing in our life, that our thought is about the thought of God and not so much about what we want. You know, yeah, there's a lot of things we want. And let me tell you this. There are some religions out there that some of the things that you want, they preach them as sin. There's a lot of things that are not sin, but are they time occupiers? Can we get involved in them so that our thought is going to be wrapped up in, and we have many, many, many thoughts about those things, and it crowds out the thought of God? Can that happen? Can there be a deviation in our path when we're heading down the path for God, walking in the light, and then all these other things distract us and pull us off? Can that happen along our path? So those are the things that we have to stop and think about. What's important is, where are you going to spend eternity, guys? What's important? Importance is, you know, if you leave this body here, that may happen to any of us at any time. You leave this body, this goes back to the dust. We think this is so much, but it really isn't much. There was a guy on TV one time, I just take it from what he said. He said, when we die, if you wanted to get the worth of us, we're probably worth anywhere from between 25 to 75 cents of potash that you put on a plant, you know, to help the plant to be fertilized or whatever. I mean, we really don't have much. The pharaohs thought that if they embalmed themselves and put themselves in sarcophagi, I guess it'd be plural, that and put them all inside there, overlaid it with gold and put things in there with it that they would preserve themselves. Well, we dug all those things up. They don't look very good. They're all mummified. All their insides have been, you know what I mean? You can't really prevent it. Over a period of time, you are going to decay. And you can do everything you can to prevent it. It's not going to work. So why do we consider it so precious then? Why is it so precious to us? You know, the thing that we really need to think about is what's inside of us. We're spiritual beings. I've said this before, but we're going to keep repeating it. What does the Bible say about rehearsing? We rehearse. It's written there a couple of times in the Word. We rehearse these things because aren't we forgetful? We don't remember everything all the time. So, and here's the thing. You're not supposed to try to remember all of these things physically. With a physical mind and a thing, I'm going to memorize it. I'm going to do this and that. Some of us get into trouble with that. We think we should know a whole bunch of things because we put our mind to it. What if I was to tell you that God wants to bring those things to you, that the remembrance is in the hand of God, that God knows when to bring things back to your remembrance? There are things that I hear, there are things Rick used to say to me and all that stuff. I can't remember all those things. But guess what starts to happen when I get into a conversation about the Lord and the Spirit starts moving or something like that? That thing comes back to me like it was yesterday, Ceci. It's amazing how those things came back. So there was something that Rick said to me that last time, where 22, I guess, is when he was here, the last time he was here. And he said something to me, and I brought it up to Gary while I was talking to him. And it came back just as clear. But if you had asked me that like a week before or something, you know, about that thing that was said years ago, I wouldn't have been able to bring it up, Tim. Not with the physical mind, I would not have. But when the spiritual mind is activated in the speech concerning God, what is communication with God? Isn't that our fellowship with Him? Yes. So once the fellowship starts, guess what? The Spirit brings it back to remembrance. So that's what we have to learn to trust in. I can't remember. I don't do this. I don't remember well. Well, what are you talking about? You're talking about this mind here. I don't remember well. And I definitely don't remember well. I've been telling my wife here lately how many times I keep forgetting things that are, you know, things that I could put my mind to do something and then walk right past it and forget it. How many people have ever done that? I mean, I walk right past it and forget it. Look at it and forget it. And then later on it hits me, you know what? You were supposed to do that. And da-da-da, and I got to come back to it. Isn't that true? It's amazing. Our minds are busy, guys. I'm going to tell you, we're busy a lot, aren't we? Here, thinking. So, as much as we put effort into things concerning things that please us, we should put more effort into the things pertaining to God. Does that make sense? We put so much effort into so many things that are not going to make it, that are going to decay, that won't be here. I'm going to say this before I get back into this. I'm going to be from Titus chapter 3 again, starting probably about verse 7. But I'm going to say this. Remember the parable about the guy that had the barns? Remember the guy, he had the barn. He said, oh, man, I'm doing so well. Let me tear these barns down and build bigger barns because I'm doing so well. I got so much stuff going. I'm doing great, whatever. Wow. So let me tear these barns I have down and build bigger ones, and I'm going to fill them up. And then there's a voice that comes and said, thou fool, thy soul is required of thee this night. And then the other part that Jesus says after that, he said, now that you're gone, who shall those things be? Who they belong to now? They don't belong to you anymore. You're gone. So you put so much effort into it and whatever, and you're gone. He said, now, who do those things belong to? Who they belong to now? That brings it home to you. So no matter what we do here, realize it's not going to last, right? What we do for Christ will always last. Always. That's something you need to keep in your mind. What you do for Christ will always last. That's eternal. But what we do for ourselves here, what we do for this worldly stuff, none of that stuff is going to last. And I don't care if you have a mansion here. They were showing on YouTube. This guy went through and did a tour of mansions. And there were some mansions that the Fords had built, the Rothschilds, all these famous names, these rich people and whatever. And they're sitting where they're at, decaying. They built so many mansions that they couldn't keep up with all of them. And people don't keep up with them now. The Fords have one up somewhere in the Appalachian, near the Appalachian, and the thing is decaying. They're thinking about making it a, where people go back in and make it a national monument thing, like this was done by this person or whatever. It's a 124-room mansion, and it's decaying. It's just sitting there falling apart. But when it was built, it cost millions upon millions of dollars to get it there. And there was another one. There was a guy that, we were watching him, the guy that cuts the grass. He got real famous doing it free for people. And they gave him a project, and it was a row of mansions all together. Anybody see that episode? There was like maybe five mansions, one right after another. They were all decaying. And they asked him, he said, what happened that people built these houses, these million-dollar homes and all this stuff, and nobody's here? He said what they thought was going to happen in that area, you know, for they could, you know, the land was going to be so great. They're going to do some mining. They were going to do a whole bunch of other things, set up entertainment centers, you know, like a ski resort or a park or something like that. None of it came to pass. The money fell out of the bottom of it. And what they had done preparing for that, and they said, well, we're not going to live there. They stopped their construction right like that. But they're mansions. And they were walking through the rooms, showing the people come in and start busting stuff up, busting the toilets, writing on the walls, all that stuff. But they were mansions. I said, wow. Shows you the what the mind will do here and what we put forth as things that are important, and they turn out not to be important at all. I talked to you last week about affirming constantly. And what we need to affirm in God is that we love him and that we want to be obedient. Constantly we should be doing that. Lord, I love you. I want to be obedient. I love you for what you've done for me, what you've done for others. I love you for my family, for the church, everything. Because look at what God's done for us. How many of us have had a mind change? You know, people. There have been things, people that have been so strong, I said, nobody will ever change my mind about something. You know, this is the way I think about it. This is the way I believe about it. And then God comes along and says, I'm going to change you. Apostle Paul was that way. When he was Saul, nobody was going to change his mind. Nobody. Then he met Jesus on the way to Damascus, got knocked down to the ground, and his mind changed real quick. Who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And then Jesus said this, it's hard for you to kick against a prick, huh? Something that can touch you and prick you that you have no power over. And man, what a blessing, because he turned out to be the greatest apostle of them all. And he wrote so many books in the New Testament, epistles and so forth, and we live by them today. Now think about this. Is Paul in you? Is that Bible in you? Think about this. We read about these great men of God, and they're in you. Can you access them? Yes, you can. I'm just going to tell you this. I'm just going to do this as a testimony, and I'm not going to tell you how it went through. But I've accessed John, the Revelator, and he spoke to me. That was good. That was good. Very powerful thing. I want to experience more of them. Been pretty close here lately, trying to experience something about Peter, being able to see some things, maybe have him show me some things. But great things, great things. But did access that. I have that testimony of that one person I've accessed. And of course, we've all accessed Jesus, whether you realize it or not, or else you wouldn't be here. Think about it. You access Jesus in some way or some form that changed your mind and your heart, and you're sitting here today. You accessed him. He opened a door to you. He prayed for you, and you're here now. Think about that. So a very powerful thing. So last week I read to you that I'm just going to talk about this part. So we affirm constantly the things that God gave us. Well, what are we affirming? That we believe God, number one. Doesn't it take belief first? When we read these scriptures, starting at verse 7 and 8 of the third chapter of Titus. So it talks about how we have to believe God. And if we believe God, then we're going to maintain good works. That's what it says. So if we are this affirmation that's constantly going on with us, that God is doing with us, he's affirming that he's real, number one, and that he's working with you, that he loves you, and that you belong to him. Look at the relationships God talks about. Doesn't he call you his children? He calls you sons and daughters of God. Doesn't he call you that? Doesn't he call you a child of God? You know, think about how these relationships are going. Didn't Jesus say, you're my brethren? You know, they're friends. Think about the things that they've said, all these relationships with God. So God considers us his family. He says, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Named after who? Jesus. We're followers of Jesus. We're followers of Christ. They say the term Christians, don't they? It's turned out to be a term that's not very good because there's so many people calling themselves Christians that are not following the will of God. Yet, they take the name on. Not good at all. And they're doing things that cause the name of Jesus to be blasphemed. You know, and people are saying, I don't want to be any part with that. Look at what they did, and they say they're Christians. It makes it bad for everybody that truly is a Christian. But here's the thing. God knows that he can make things turn out better no matter how bad the devil mocks, causes things to come up there, how bad religion gets, all of that. God starts to perform the real. And then the things that start to happen is that you have experiences in your life that nobody can deny. Nobody can deny, right? So you start experiencing something, it changes you inwardly, a new man is being formed in you, and then you say, wait a minute, this is real. I have a testimony about what God is doing, right? It's very powerful. So this affirmation I talked about last week and I'm talking about today, affirmation, this affirming constantly, God is keeping communication, touching us by his spirit constantly. He's affirming that he's real, which causes us to say this. Then he causes this to happen. You first must believe. Is that a first work? You got to believe. And then he says, if you're going to believe, then I'll help you to maintain so that you can continue to perform good works. He said he would do that for us. By him affirming himself in us, he's going to help us to maintain those good works. Good works, God works. Is that what it is? He's going to help us to maintain those good works. Well, how does he do that? He leads us by the Spirit. He performs it by grace. We follow him by faith. These things start to work and they become real. And those things become real in us. And we say, I love what I'm in. I love where I'm at right now. I love that God loves me. You love that, right? So, in maintaining these good works, do you think maybe God likes to speak to you and perform things from heaven? What did we say about those angels? Do they ascend and descend, and they're doing it all the time? Isn't that constant affirmation that God's talking about? Are they not ministering spirits that minister to us from God and from us from through them back to God, right? So what happens is we got to start believing in angels, guys. If you don't believe in them, you need to start believing in them. We've talked to you about this. The Jacob's ladder was the thing, right, when they first read about it. The ascending and descending, up and down. He sees the gates of heaven. He said, this is a terrible place. And when he said that, he didn't mean that what was happening was terrible. He was saying it scared him so much because the power of it was evident. He said, oh, he trembled at it. But God allowed him to see the gates of heaven, God at the top of the ladder, and angels ascending and descending. Man, what a vision. What a vision. And you're seeing ministering spirits coming from God to you and from you back to God. And so that shows you how much God considers us important, that he sends his ministering spirits. Now, let me tell you what his ministering spirits are. We say angels, right? But what is an angel? It's a thought of God. manifested as a spirit from God. God is a spirit, and they that worship him in spirit and in truth. So he said, and the Father seeketh such to worship him. So then what is he saying? He's saying we need spiritual worship going back and forth. How does he accomplish that? Angels. Coming back and forth all the time. And because we don't see them like we see each other here, sometimes it's hard for us to believe that God is still communicating with us. But I tell you what, you put this other mind of this world aside, God will allow you to see what these ministering spirits are doing for you. They'll change you. They'll change your very heart and your mind. You know why? Because they're the thought of God sent in the form of a spirit, an angel, to minister to you because God considers you important. Why would he send a messenger from heaven to you in constant affirmation, constantly going up and down that those stairs from the stairway to heaven? One of my favorite songs, by the way. But anyway, stairway to heaven, going to the heavens and coming back. I started thinking about that. Even as we sleep, can they minister to us? Angels. Can they work with your thought? All of a sudden, you start getting a thought about, wait, why am I thinking about this? Why is this coming to me right now? Well, God knows the timing. If you're all in prophecy, does God know the right time to hit you with that prophecy and bring it to pass and bring it to your mind so that you start thinking about those things? It's an amazing thing. People say, well, what are you talking about, Kenny? He said, you're a 76-year-old man. Yes, I am. And I tell you what, I believe in God and I believe in angels. I believe in his word. I believe in him communicating with us. You know why? Because he communicates with me all the time. The thoughts that come forth. I say this and I want you to think about it. How many thousands of messages and Bible studies that some of you have known me for many years have we done? Where do you think all that comes from? What has God been doing all that time? Do you think he's been communicating? Rick said something very important. All those things that God is doing, you hear the testimonies that you hear from the presbytery about how God took them through dreams and visions and so forth and showed them things. And Rick said, you know what, guys, we're not smart enough to do this. Only God could do this. We're not smart enough. We don't have the power to do it, to tell you the truth. We're not smart enough. But God has the power, and he is smart enough, huh? He can do these things for us. He knows what every one of us needs. The thing that cracks me up about this, I think it's the 6th or the 7th chapter of Matthew. God says, he even knows the number of hairs on your head. And people say, that's a worthless number. Why would he want to know that? God, that's not the point. The point is how God is get down to the nitty-gritty about everything about you. Even the number of the hairs on your head. And we think we know so much. I like that scripture in Psalms that says he knows your thoughts when they're far off. So before they get to you, God already knew your thoughts. I like serving a God like that. That's powerful, man. So don't forget the angels. God is making a constant affirmation with us all the time. And he's doing it because we're believers. And as being believers, he's going to help us to maintain good works, God works, and he's going to show us how to do it. He's going to do that by his grace. God performs the work. We stay obedient, and we do it. I've told you this before, too. Grace without works, but faith by your works, right? Show me your faith. Well, how are you going to show it? By your works, by the things that you're doing that God told you to do. The word God gave you, you hold on to it. Walking in the light, like God says to walk in the light, keeping the commandments and so forth. That's the work you're going to do. You're going to follow what God told you to do to the utmost of your ability, and God's going to bless you in return, and your kingdom increases. You are enlarged by the things God does for you. All you need is one event with God, one incident with God, one thing that God does for you, and you say, oh, my God. And then you realize God is real. And all of us have had at least one of those where we've realized, oh, man, God did something for me. You know what? I need to serve God. And now here's the thought that comes next. I need to serve him better. I need to serve him with all that I have. Because the more I put into serving God, the greater his kingdom is expanded and enlarged in me, and that expands the whole kingdom of God, doesn't it? Because we're all part of it. Are we all not part of the body of Christ? Yes, we are. So will that kingdom expand because we're expanding? We're becoming increased in the things of God. We are enlarged in the things of God. Well, enlarged how? This changes. Your mind starts to be almost constantly on the things of God. What did Dan say? We'll be so busy doing the things that God won't have time to worry about the world and about our lusts and what we want to do and whatever. It's time for us to understand that God does have a need, and guess what that need is? The need is for us to be obedient and to be followers and to be servants so we can serve him in the kingdom. How many of us pray for one another to the point where God shows us and does this by grace and puts you in that person so that you can see what they're going through, and then you feel that and know that, and then that same thing happens in you too. What if God did that to you? Have you ever dreamed about one another in one way or another where you were helping one another? Think about it. I've had those because I'm a pastor. I mean, I think about people. I start thinking about them and God takes it and shows me something about that person. And then I say, now I know how to minister. The other way I find out a lot of times is by you speaking to me. All I got to do is listen to you. As you talk, God's revealing to me by your speech what you're talking about and the thought that's behind that. Say, oh, does that make you some great person? No, that's God's discernment working through his word. It has nothing to do with me. All God is doing is revealing through his word what's going on there. That's all. And so we can address that, and we start addressing it, and guess what? God's right all the time, because it's him, not us, it's him. So it's a very powerful thing. Are there things we know about you that would make things better for you? Yes, that's where counsel comes in. Very powerful. And what's the counsel based on? Is it based on the word of God? Yeah. It's still based on what God says, still based on what his spirit says, still based on what that ministering spirit tells us, still based on discernment, which comes from God, still based on his word that discerns and judges the thoughts and intents of the heart. Doesn't it say that? Comes all from God. God's doing it all. He's performing the work. It's his grace. So that's why I was saying, don't forget the angels. If we're going to affirm the things of God, affirm constantly the things of God, then we have to have a relationship with God. That's all I'm saying. And people say, well, we're all sitting here. We all have a relationship. Do you have the relationship you should have? Are we giving everything that we have over to God? Are we still holding things back? Or are we hiding things? Or are we afraid of God? Some of you are afraid of the Spirit of God, what God's Spirit is going to do to you. I know that. I know that positively. Well, what's he going to do? Don't worry about it. Whatever he does, it's going to be fine. You're going to be okay, whatever he does. Don't be afraid of what you don't know yet. Let him do what he's going to do, and you're going to find out it's going to be a blessing. So I'm going to say this again. They were talking about Philip as being one of the seven, you know, the deacons chosen out. I think it's the sixth chapter of Acts when he's chosen out, whatever. But look at what this guy did. He's a deacon. He goes out. He preaches out the city of Samaria. And as he preaches that out, what's discerned there? That guy Simeon that worked by divination, remember? And the people supposed him to be some grace. That was exposed, wasn't it? And yet at the same time, the people that really believed in God were receiving the Holy Ghost after Peter and John came down, remember? And so all of that started going forward. Then he leaves there, and God sends him out to the desert to meet an Ethiopian eunuch that was going to Jerusalem to worship. God, by the Spirit, does that. The Spirit tells him, can you imagine just sitting there and you're doing your thing, and the Spirit tells you, hey, Philip, get up. I want you to go to the desert. We're in the I'll guide you. Go to the desert. He's obedient to it. goes to the desert. There's a eunuch sitting in a chariot reading the book of Isaiah.
Wow.
And God reveals to him that's what he's doing. And he says, do you understand what you read? He said, how can I except some man guide me? And he went up into the chariot right next to him and stood there and preached Jesus to him. And then the eunuch says, oh, there's water. What hindereth me from being baptized? He does the whole deal with them. And the eunuch goes away rejoicing, right? Then God carries Philip from there in the spirit away to another city called Azotus. Just picks him up, spirit, pops him over to Azotus. He appears in Azotus. This is the same guy. And then he preaches something in Azotus. We don't get the story about that, what he did there. But then later on down the line, I think it's the 22nd chapter of Acts or something, Paul's making a missionary journey. He knows about Philip. He stops by his house. We know Philip was married because he had four daughters that were virgins that were prophetesses. And Paul stops by his house and greets him. And man, great stuff going back. The communication between him and Philip, that's going between heaven, God, and them, great thing. And so we find out that Philip has four daughters that are prophetesses. I mean, this guy just goes from one thing to the next thing to the next thing, and now they change his name. He's not a deacon. They call him Philip the Evangelist. And Paul says that. He said, I stopped by Philip the Evangelist's house. He has four daughters that are virgins. They're all prophetesses. He's become an evangelist, a part of the fivefold ministry. Look what God did to a guy chosen out in the congregation, made him a deacon, and look what he did with him. Boom, boom, step, step, step. Wow. And he became an evangelist, part of the fivefold ministry. Don't ever think that God can't use you and pull you into something that you say, God, I'm not qualified to do that. Isn't that what Moses told him? He said, you're going to be the deliverer of my people in Egypt. Lord, I'm slow of speech. I don't know if I can do this. God actually got angry at him because he said, I'm the one sent. Didn't I send the angel to speak to you from the burning bush? Didn't I tell you to go and whatever? He said, if I did all of that, do you think maybe I can qualify you to speak to Pharaoh? But Lord, I'm slow of speech. So you know what God did? He said, I'm going to do it through your brother Aaron to show you first. And he pulled Aaron up there, and Aaron was the first one to talk. Go back and read it. And then God performed a miracle through him before Pharaoh. After that, Moses seeing that, because he knew he was supposed to be the deliverer, he said, don't worry about it. I'm going to do it now. Next time it's going to be me. I'm not going to allow that to happen anymore. I'm going to do the will of God that God gave me from the beginning. He took me on the backside of the desert for 40 years watching sheep so I would learn how to deal with these people. Right? That's it. So we can give excuses to God. God knows what's in us. Lord, I can't, I can't, I can't. God said, yes, you can, or I wouldn't have given it to you. I'm the one that's going to qualify you. You think you have to do it under your own power? You think you're going to do it through your own mindset? No, it's going to be done through the Word of God and the Spirit. I will guide you. I will word your very mouth. So what does it come down to? This is what I'm going to end with. What does it come down to? It comes down to trust, doesn't it? You got to trust God that he's going to do it. Man, people say, hey, PK, I see you get up there and you can talk and you can go through and whatever, and you're not studying anything. You're allowing God to bring the word to you and all this stuff. I say, yeah, yeah. That's not how I started off. That's not how I started off. Oh, man. I think the first time I spoke or whatever, I think I lasted about 5 minutes. Ran out, Ernest. How long did you last the first time? Was it about five? Oh, okay. Yeah, less than five. Everybody that does this, it's just the way it works. You know why? Because you're doing it from your own mind and you're hoping that you're going to please God by what you come up with in your own mind. And God says, he'll let you do that. And you run out real quick. And then he's letting you know, you need me. I need to do this. I didn't call you to do it. I called you to be obedient and allow me to do it through you. You're supposed to be a servant. What does a servant do? It doesn't think up its own thing for its master. It follows what the master tells it to do. Does that make sense? And he said, and didn't he say, I am your Lord and Master? Didn't Jesus say that? He said that to all of those disciples. He said, I am your Lord and Master. And you know what he was doing when he was doing that? Washing their feet. He said, if I'm your Lord and Master and I wash your feet, shouldn't you wash one another's feet? He wasn't establishing a ritual as much as he said, I want you to be in servanthood in your mind. If I'm your Lord and Master and I wash your feet, which is a servant's job, shouldn't you be a servant one to another? Ah. And to others that God is going to cause you to win, shouldn't you be a servant to them? Ah. Jesus said, I didn't come to be ministered to, I came to minister. So I'm a servant. So take my example as a servant. I'll wash your feet. Even though I'm your creator, I'm the one that made you and put you here. But I'm going to bend down, take a towel, and wash your feet to show you this is servitude. This is what you need to do. So humble yourself. Humble yourself. You may think you know a lot. You don't know anything compared to God. The knowledge of man is nothing compared to God. The knowledge of the holy, that's everything. Knowledge of man, but the knowledge of the holy, good things. God can give you a knowledge that is beyond the understanding of man. I know that's true. And he can do that. And you'll speak things. Last thing here. Speak things. Remember when Peter and the apostles were standing before the Sanhedrin court and Peter had to tell the guys, hey, we ought to obey God rather than man, you know? And they're speaking all these things. Doesn't tell you the whole conversation, but they're speaking things back and forth. And those guys are marveling because they all went through, you know, the Jewish schools and doctors of the law and all that stuff. They knew a lot. Pharisees, Sadducees. And they were going back and forth. And they finally had to stop and say, how are these men withstanding us? These uneducated men, just ignorant. That's what they called them. They said they ignorant and unlearned men. How are they withstanding us in what they're saying? And then they stopped for a second. Oh, wait. They took note that they had been with who? Jesus. Wow. So it doesn't matter how many years of school you go through and all this other stuff. Doesn't matter how smart you think you are and the knowledge you gain within yourself. Doesn't matter. God's going to always up that. He's always going to be better than that. So those ignorant and unlearned men turned the whole world upside down. 12 of them. Wow, isn't that powerful? And they weren't what we would call educated. Wow. So it's a powerful thing. God gives you the knowledge of the holy. He does it through his spiritual word. Spiritual word, right? Spirit and truth is how he does it in us. So what we have to do, we have to be obedient to it. We have to learn to trust him. So this is, don't forget the angels. God's constantly communicating with us, and he's affirming constantly his relationship with us all the time. God, who created the universe, created everything in this world, thinks about you, Chris. He thinks about Chris. He thinks about Patty, Eveline. He thinks about everybody. Tim, he thinks about you. He thinks about you, Deli. You know, Tondi, all of you. God thinks that the one that created the universe thinks on you. Says he's thinking about you. And you say, wait a minute, you mean the God that did all that has a thought of me in his mind all the time? Not more than a thought. He has a whole prophetic plan for you, for your life. Not just a thought, a whole prophetic plan for you to be in his kingdom. So does he think on you, Laura? He does, because he's put a kingdom in you and he's going to enlarge it by his spirit. He thinks about you. And when I realized that years ago, I said, wait a minute. You mean some of the things Rick told me? Yep, Kenny. He said, you and I worked together from the beginning. I couldn't understand it then, but I understand it now. Oh, we knew each other from the beginning. That's why we know each other now. So God has done this in all of us. And it doesn't make anybody special except in God. God holds you special in his sight. You're his children. You belong to, you're his family. And he cares for his family. Isn't that true? Do you care for yours? God cares for him even much more, his family, much more. All the way to putting you in prophecy and bringing you out all right in eternal life with him. And you inheriting a heaven where he has a place for you. Wow. So don't forget the angels. Don't forget God is affirming constantly his relationship with you. He's constantly giving you more to say, yeah, we have a relationship. We're communicating. I don't see it, PK. I don't see it. I haven't heard much yet. Keep on hanging in there, believing. Pretty soon you're going to start hearing the voice of God in more ways than one. It'll come in your thoughts, or you may hear a literal voice. That's another thing that's happened to me. I literally heard a voice in my ear, God telling me to go. I love that. And I can always hold on to that testimony. He told me to go, and I did, and he brought me to where I am now. So, good stuff. Anybody have any questions for me about what I said today?
And you're talking about the Lord confirming the word in us. Could you say, like, what you're doing now by preaching, and you were talking about Jacob's ladder, that the angels have received that word to bring to each and every one of us to confirm what Jesus has already spoken to us in prophecy, the word that's in us, and that's the word that is coming from heaven being given to us?
Well, yeah. And here's the thing. God did this from the beginning. You think you coming here today was the first time that ever happened? God's already spoken this to you. The other thing is, those angels are working right now, but they were working from the beginning too. They already have a relationship with you, but sometimes we don't have a relationship with them. Isn't that how it works? We don't know about our angels, do we? I even heard some of you tell me, I don't even know if I can believe in angels. And yet the angel's standing right there, okay? Angel's standing right next to you. You don't see him, of course. You haven't seen him. Or he's right in you speaking, and you're just saying, I don't know if I believe in angels. What do you think that does to God? God said, you know, it's just like us all the time. We think we're going to handle things. Well, I'm going to do this, 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 and this. And I'll make this problem right. We'll get it right. Whatever. God says, go ahead. I'll let you do it. Try to work it out. Go ahead and work it out. Aren't there things that you can't work out? There are things that hit you no matter how big and bad you are and whatever. And it takes God to work it out. And then finally you realize that. You say, okay, I'm useless right now. I need you to do it, God. And then you let God do it, then it'll be worked out. That's how it works. So those angels are working now, Seth, right now. That word that's coming forth now, where do you think that's coming from? It's coming from the main angel, the angel of the Lord coming through us. That's all it is. And it's the words they have, not that I have. And so we have to get to the point where we don't take any credit for anything. Because I know I'm nothing without God. Without me, you can do nothing. So do I enjoy God using me? Oh, yeah, I do. Does he use my personality and the way I think? Yeah, of course he does. Or else he wouldn't have selected me to be me. Right? But where are the words coming from? That's the difference. Aren't we all different in here? Now, are we all in the body of Christ? Are we all in different places? What a blessing.